Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Smashy Business Show. I am Ward Ahmed, and I have Farah with me today.
Hi, Ward. Thank you for the beautiful presentation.
How are you doing today, Farah?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Actually, I'm going through a bit of a conundrum right now because lately I've been going to sleep like very early.
Okay, yeah.
Very early. And I honestly, I fell into it, Farah. I believe that like, I really thought that if I slept early, happiness would just be an immediate outcome.
Okay.
I genuinely thought this.
Really?
Girl, it was not the immediate outcome.
Come on.
I'm not even joking, but when I was running around and more sleepless, I was happier.
Look, it's going to take some time to adjust. You know, your body needs to adjust to you sleeping early.
It's weird. When my body isn't running on, like, complete adrenaline, I don't feel that happy. And I mean, being sleepless, like, it drives that adrenaline in me. It's strange.
It is. No, actually, I do agree with you, you know, but I feel like sometimes maybe a mix of both can work together beautifully. You know what I mean? Like, not having sleep for like a long time will be affecting your health, but also having a lot of sleep for like
I don't like it whatsoever. Really? I think I'm gonna go back to my old days.
Yeah, I mean, just like, do you, girl. Yeah. You do you.
But you know, do you see this sweatshirt that I'm wearing
here?
It actually has a really special, it has a special story.
Let me tell you. I wanna hear about it.
So basically, I actually stole it from my brother because I do not own winter clothes. I don't, for some reason. It's never gotten this cold. It's
so
never
got you off, but I will be explaining why. Because us girls and living in Dubai, we don't accept that winter is here.
Especially this year, it's never gotten this cold. Yeah, I remember when I spent time in the desert, it reached 10 degrees at night. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. But anyways, back to this hoodie. Basically, my mother told me that she actually bought this hoodie for my brother when she was in this park from this kid who had cancer. And he actually made this hoodie. He made a lot of them and they were selling them so that they could actually make money for his treatment.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, she told me this today in the morning when we were praying together. And she said, do you want to know the story of this hoodie? And I'm like, what? Like, I just thought it was, you know, it was just from the mall. Yeah. And when she told me that, I was like, Mom, you're not getting this back. Like, my heart.
That
like,
is beautiful.
And it, but you know what actually made me even more happier than the fact that, you know, it's like a piece of clothing has a story. Mm-hmm. It made me happy to hear that my mom actually bought it.
Yes.
You know, because I feel like we always do this thing where when we walk into stores, you know, we're not that convinced and then we went. But the fact that people actually bought the hoodies from him. They really did. Like, the community supported him. It was actually in our community center where he started selling them in, like, the football field. And it just made me so happy to see people coming together to support a cause. Because it doesn't always happen.
I agree with you. And as you said, it's beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, having that materialistic thing attached to something emotional and sentimental.
Yeah, it is. And you know, Farah, with me, when it comes to money... How you spend your money, for someone like me, it really matters to me.
Yeah.
It really, like, even if I, like, right now, this year, I became a billionaire, I would be very careful with the way I spend that money. I would really try and help people.
I like that.
For me, it's not like, you know, even if I had a billion, I would actually never spend it on Hermes. I'd never buy a Kelly. I'd never buy a Birkin. I wouldn't. Mm. If I was gifted it, thank you. But I of course I would treat myself. Don't get me wrong. I do like luxury. I do like luxury. But I would actually spend that money to help those in need. Mm-hmm. You know, for purposes like this. Because it is so beautiful. And some people don't have the money for certain things. And we really are so privileged.
We really are.
We are. And, you know, now bringing us to our first topic of the day. His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum has approved the development of housing projects worth $1.5 billion. dollars, and they are they're basically set to benefit the Emirati citizens in multiple areas across Dubai. So the amount of homes that were actually specifically approved were 3,004. So there was over 1,000 in Latifa City, over 600 in Al-Yalayis, and over 400 in Al-Wadi Al-Mardi.
Yes, you know, actually, I love the story because I want to relate it to something that I spoke on the Love in Dubai show with Casey this morning, which is how the UAE is actually supporting its citizens in regards of marriage, giving them a 10-day leave, giving them financial aid, and of course now bringing back to the housing project, which, as you mentioned, is worth $1.5 billion, which, by the way, is a lot.
And over 3,000 homes for Emirati citizens.
You know, because at this point, I think you know that you're born in the UAE, right?
Yeah.
And anyone who's born in the UAE is aware of the fact that I mentioned that on the show several times, that locals are the minority in the UAE.
They are the minority.
They really are. Like, you will find Egyptians, Syrians, Lebanese, Palestinians, and people from all around the world, more than you will find Emiratis. Yeah. And that's why they are really prompting and encouraging people to get married locally, right? Local people to get married, and as well supporting
them.
And with that, they as well will be helping them build their houses. So I would want to relate the story to that, you know, like building, as you said, like houses and
you know, Farah, you know, Sheikh Mohammed, he said it best. He said that people are the foundation of our renaissance. And him saying that, it's so beautiful because, you know, he's basically saying that their people, their Emirati citizens, are the foundation of the rebirth of the UAE.
That is true.
And it's so important to recognize that your people themselves are how the country will move.
That is
true. And you know, when I see this, like, a lot of my best friends are Emirati. And something that I just suddenly realize all the time with them is that, whoa, you guys actually get to grow up in your home. Mm-hmm. In your home. Because I'm from Sudan. Mm-hmm. And my country right now, it's at war. You know, I would do anything to get back home. And the reason why my country is in the state that it's in, it's because it does not have a leader like that.
But as well,
it doesn't have a leader that prioritizes its citizens.
But as well, not only for citizens, like for all residents, you know, even if from any country, we do consider Dubai and the UAE to be our home.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Like, for example, of course we do, but what they do for the locals.
And
by the way, I do not blame them for it at all. I don't blame them for it.
For
if
sure.
anything, like me and my family, we constantly have this discussion. We love that they prioritize their own people.
Yes.
I genuinely see that there is no discrimination there because what it does is that it empowers their people more. It makes them more successful. You know, they even actually offer such beautiful scholarship grants, by
that
the way, Farah.
True, yeah,
and by the way, they don't give them easily. They don't give them easily whatsoever. I had one of my best friends, she went to study in the UK. She applied for it and she said they didn't give it to me easily because you have to be the top of the top. Mm-hmm. You have to have done something grand.
And as well, there are a lot of misconceptions regarding the UAE citizens, right, that we hear all the time, which is why they're implementing like the Emiratization program, right, and at all businesses, and as well helping them get married, help, you know, financially, and as well
it is
building
amazing.
Homes.
And like, and you know, especially when I see this story specifically, you know, Farah, like lately when I see the word home, I really miss Sudan.
Yeah.
I really miss my country. And it's not something that I talk about often because it does make me very emotional, but I miss my country because a lot of people, they don't realize what's going on in Sudan.
True.
But, you know, we lost our homes.
We can't go back.
Mm-hmm. We can't go back to Sudan. I can never hear the birds chirping again. I can never see my neighbor Tahani again. And I don't know if I'll ever be back. So, you know, when I see this story, when, you know, when I see that the, you know, the UAE, they're really holding on to their people, it makes me emotional. Because I wish that, you know, my own country, that we had a leader
would provide you
that would hold on to us.
No, I understand that for sure, you know, but again, as I mentioned earlier, that anyone, any resident who lives in the UAE will for sure be saying that, you know, the UAE is home away from home. Yes.
And for our next topic for today, Golub Capital, a leading U.S.-based direct lender and credit asset manager with over $70 billion in capital under management, is planning to open an office in Abu Dhabi. Now, when I see this move, it does not surprise me whatsoever. U.S. is extremely hungry over the UAE. And this is not the first time that this has happened. Mm-hmm. Just very recently, actually, BlackRock was able to obtain its commercial license to operate in ADGM, Abu Dhabi's global market. So we're seeing that more of these American companies, they're coming here, and they're not just any American companies, they're powerful American companies.
For sure.
With a large private assets.
Mm-hmm. And as well, because like we know that with that, it will be enabling Abu Dhabi to attract, as you said, more investment. Like we already do see investment in American companies coming into the UAE, and this will of course be expanding the UAE, allowing the Golub Capital to diversify its geographic footprint beyond the United States.
Yeah, and even from like Golub Capital themselves, this is such a smart move on their part, especially with the recent news that Abu Dhabi's investment fund, Mubadala, actually topped Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. It's the top wealth spender. And you know, on Golub Capital, I don't see that, you know, this is a decision that they made intentionally. They know that all the capital is all pooled in Abu Dhabi. It's a very smart tactic on their part. But this is not to underestimate Saudi Arabia's public investment fund.
Of course.
They have had great achievements this year. You know, they've actually just acquired a 15% stake in Heathrow Airport and I believe 54% in the NBC. So, you know, they're making a lot of moves there. But, you know, this is a very smart tactic from Golub Capital.
I mean, I spoke about it with Majid before, because both the UAE and as well as Saudi Arabia have a 2030 vision, and it's like both of them are racing each other to reach to their 2030 vision, which is very exciting, because I would want to see later on what would happen or how will it all turn out.
And it is happening. I remember there was actually this time where when all of the tech CEOs were actually visiting Saudi Arabia for FII, you know, we had Tim Cook from Apple. We also had the CEO of TikTok. You know what would happen, Farah? They would actually visit Saudi Arabia, and then literally not 2 days later, they'd be in Dubai with His Highness Sheikh Hamdan.
For sure, you know, because like both of the countries are trying to swerve away from depending on oil, right? And we've this was like a very widely talked topic around in business. However, of course, as mentioned earlier, with their visions and how they are racing each other, those investments are not to be surprised. Like it's not a surprise. You know, like I think later on, tomorrow and after tomorrow, and as the year continues, we're going to be seeing more and more news of that.
Yeah, and finally, for our last topic for the day, it is beach time. So Dubai has awarded a $108 million contract for the second phase of Al Mimza Beach development. This is so exciting. I love the beach. I love the beach. You know, I was just telling them, I don't like winter. I love summer. This is so amazing for everyone. And if you've been to Al Mimzar, have you ever gone to their private beaches, by the way?
Of course, for sure. I mean, you know, like I am, I lived my whole life in the UAE, right? I'm born here in the UAE. I'm born in Dubai. So Al Mimzar, I've been to Al Mimzar. I've been to all the beaches around, and that's like beautiful. I just wonder how will it be like, because I used to all the time go to Al Mimzar.
I actually they have a ladies beach. That's why I specifically love El Mamzer. It's so accommodating, especially for women.
It was from it was on Mondays and Wednesdays, I believe. Remember? Yes, it was on Mondays
Wednesdays. It's still on Wednesdays. I'm not sure about Mondays, but I still go on Wednesdays
with
my best friend.
That's really nice. Yeah, I remember good memories.
It's still a part of childhood, and it's still there. And you know, I believe the location El Mamzer, it's specifically very special because of the fact that it's actually, you know, it's a very consistent beach. Mm-hmm. Because I believe, is it called Dubai's Ladies Club? I remember there was a time where a lot of women used to go there, but a lot of people, by the way, are recently saying that it like fell off, that it's like dirty. You know, people, it's not the same anymore.
I mean, I don't know. However, like for me, I used to all the time go to Al Mamzer and not go. Like I've been to Dubai Ladies Club, but that was like back then.
Yeah.
I don't know about now how it is because I really don't
go there. Al Mamzer is truly still amazing. Mm-hmm. Like I went recently. It's so amazing. I love it so much. And it stands out to me that they specifically awarded it a contract of $108 million because I do believe that it's very consistent. You know, for years, like Farah is telling you guys, she's been going there since she's been young. Yes. I've been going there. All the girls, all the women that I know go there. It's a very consistent beach.
It is.
And
I think that's
something special.
I think, you know, like this is what people love is that as a woman, as I was like growing up and everything, I would see like women only beaches that would close down, right? And then the Mamzer was the only one that would not close down, and that would be the only,
And to this day, it's good quality. That's
literally
what impresses me so
really
much.
Is,
and you know, with beaches, honestly, beaches are such a money-making venture. Mm-hmm. They really are. And you know where I specifically see this, Farah? I see it in Kite Beach.
Yeah.
Kite Beach, you know, there was a time where Kite Beach, like, it wasn't actually that discovered. And I remember that me and my family would go and there wouldn't be that many people there. Now, if you go to Kite Beach, the sight that you are going to see, the tourists that you're going to see, especially at Salt,
that's true.
It's crazy.
Because, you know, it's not like, it's not a beach only kind of like a situation. It's like, you know, like some like pop-ups that are there. If you're craving ice cream, there's an ice cream
shop.
They
have everything. They have games.
They have
bungee jumping.
They have everything.
But with Kite Beach specifically, I mentioned Salt because of the fact that something I've noticed even on my TikTok page when I'm scrolling, I've always loved Salt. Mm-hmm. I love Salt. I'm I'm such a fan. But I've noticed that actually what happened is that a lot of the tourists come here and they have Salt every single day.
That's true.
Every single day.
I mean, it's really nice. Look, I love
crazy
Salt. But let's be real. You know, I don't know if you know that, but it's a business for two local girls.
Yes.
The UAE, and that's just, like, beautiful. And the fact that it's like from like a local company and it's like homegrown.
Yeah.
That's just like.
And not just that. You know, it's something I actually also love about Salt. Their quality did not fall off.
Because something I've
noticed with businesses that scale very quickly is that quality drops. You know, the first time I'll go, it will be amazing. I don't want to name companies. It will be amazing.
Yeah.
And then I'll go another three times and it's not the same anymore.
That's true.
But with Salt, I noticed the quality stayed the same. And actually, one of my best friends, she knows the owners. Mm-hmm. And she told me that they do not let the quality drop.
Really?
These two girls, they don't let the quality drop. They make they make sure to always do checks with the restaurant, make sure to maintain the quality. And I think that's why Salt is such a hit.
For sure, you know,
especially in the beach.
Yeah.
But with that being said, thank you so much for watching, everyone. We hope you loved the show today. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV. And as always, you can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Have a beautiful day.